dry. Memorial Day Monday, scattered afternoon storms around and a high temperature in the lower 90s. Pretty typical for Memorial Day weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Buying or building a new home comes with many difficult decisions. The mortgage process shouldn't be one of them. Let CBNS Bank's experienced mortgage lenders make the process easy. Visit a CBNS Bank office or cbsbank.com. All loans subject to credit approval. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The following is a paid program by Earnest Financial. The views and opinions are solely those of the hosts and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
It came from outer space to fill the world with terror. What was it? Where did it come from? Who were the all-powerful creatures it brought from outer space? And what did they want on Earth?
Is it human or inhuman? Earthly or unearthly?
Gentlemen, do you realize what we've found? A being from another world.
Why can't you just get along?
Super Secret Studio, deep inside the Earth at UFO Tracking Station Zero, it's the Health and Wealth Show. Tonight, it's the UFO Conspiracy and advice on keeping your finances safe, even from aliens. Now, here's your host, David Earnest.
Yes, there he is, ladies and gentlemen, David Earnest, your Earnest host. I'm working on something over here. You want to take a second? I got to get our special guest in.
Yes. You know, we have some untrying times going on, and one of them is we don't have to worry about aliens, or shouldn't have to worry about aliens getting involved in our portfolios or mismanagement. You know, equity risk is bad enough. Interest rate risk is bad enough. Currency risk is bad enough. Commodity risk is bad enough. Margining risk is bad enough. Holding period risk is bad enough. Basis risk is bad enough. But to look at a shape of a flying saucer and have risk for being sliced in half is even worse than having to worry about everything else. But anyway, today we have a special guest. I'm not going to introduce him yet. He knows a lot about UFOs.
Yes, he does. I'm trying to get him in here. This is a technical thing, so give me a second.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things besides technical issues is that technical issues can cause tissues. And I'm about to start crying here in a little bit if he can't get this fixed. So, besides that, has anybody got a tissue? All I see is one of them things that you can wipe yourself off if you got the COVID-19. But anyway, COVID-19. My wife says, don't call that stuff COVID-19. And I'm going, it's COVID-19. Okay, so it's sort of like a Conad. You know, I'm getting mad. It's big and bad. But anyway, we're going to talk about a lot of things tonight. Measuring the potential loss due to market risk is one of the things we're going to be talking about. But we're also going to be talking about the risk of humans having to deal with all of this hoopla, or is it hoopla? Is it really true? Do we have other beings from other worlds visiting us as we speak?
We could, but...
But I know they surely don't have hairy legs.
No. Evidently, I cannot get the transporter to work like I had planned out, so we're just going to have to let him walk in. Ladies and gentlemen, and I didn't know this about him until we sat down and talked.
Yes.
But he is a UFO expert.
And, yes, he is.
He's done some research and some studying, and he's ready to talk about it. Ladies and gentlemen, our very own Chris Cleghorn. There he is.
Thank you. Right Thank there. You very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, right there.
Oversold.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. So, Chris, you have done a lot of research down through time. I know you're big into, what is that show that's on late at night?
Hangar One. I've been watching it here lately.
Yeah, Hangar One.
I like it a lot. Yeah.
And Coast to Coast and
Coast
all
to
that
Coast
good stuff.
George Orient, yeah.
Yeah.
I get to listen to that early in the morning.
Yeah. So you and Terry can carry on some really good conversations about all this stuff. And sometimes it just blows my mind to hear all this stuff. But, you know, what do you think, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here, what do you think these unidentified flying objects could be?
Honestly, I really think it's aliens. I really do.
Really?
Yeah.
Like
we've said before, I think there might be some parallel type universe situations and aliens trying to watch out for us.
You think they're trying to watch out for us?
But I think somewhat, yeah.
You're kind of like, I think you might be referring back to what we had talked about a little earlier about where these flying discs, as they described them.
Hey, Chris, hang on a second.
Sure, go ahead.
You found it?
I got it here. Just I thought.
He thought he found it.
Wait. There we go. I had this all fixed up. I just didn't want to waste it. Here you come now. And here he is. Hand for the sound.
Lost in space.
He beamed in.
That's what it reminds me of.
We got you in there now.
Yeah.
Well, I get Dr. Smith
back. I'm beamed in. Yeah.
You're beamed in, man.
All right.
Well, I know you're beamed in, and you know a lot about this, but you know there's a lot, as we were talking about just a little earlier, the flying disc that they said had shut down the missile silos back in the '60s.
Right.
Was that on Hangar One?
I think it has been on Hangar One. You're talking about Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But see, the thing about it was, it wasn't just at the Air Force Base. It was basically all over the world. Russia had nukes at the time.
Right.
We had nukes at the time.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the same things were going on.
Yeah, I heard. I heard that even the Russians were having problems with them. But do you think that maybe, I mean, some people think that there was a sort of like a, we'll show you, if you guys are going to get into the nuclear weapons, we'll shut you down kind of thing for your own good?
Well, something that I found out was there was a lot of nuclear stuff going on in 67. I think at the time that this happened, there had already been like three nuclear leaks.
Uh-huh.
One of them had dried up a lake. We're really starting to get into the nuclear reactors for energy and everything else. And that's where a lot of the sightings were, over ICBM missile silos, over nuclear reactors that were actually functioning at the time.
Right.
That's
1967 was a big year.
Yeah.
That's the year the Camaros came out.
The nice Camaros. Yeah,
the nice.
Man, they look like UFOs.
I know, they were cool. These projects and all these different things that they've got into, these ufologists. We were talking about one of the most popular ones we were talking about the other
Stedham.
Day. Yeah, I think he just recently died.
Stedham Freeman.
Staten Terry Friedman. I think.
Valiant Thor.
He's also was a physicist. He was very big in physics. And, he was one of the first civilians to document the site of the Roswell UFO incident.
Right.
And he supported the hypothesis that it was a genuine crash of an extraterrestrial spacecraft. In 1968, he told a committee of the United States of Representatives, in other words, the authorities of the government, that the evidence suggests that Earth is being visited by intelligently controlled extraterrestrial vehicles. He also stated he believed that UFO sightings were consistent with magnetohydraulic dynamic propulsion. In other words, I guess electrical stuff where they can change the poles or control,
polarity.
The polarity. You got it. Thank you.
And they also said that a lot of times these things were just
imagination.
Yeah, they tried to tell us we were just thinking.
They thought we were crazy. So there's all kinds of things and folks that have been involved. SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, they're not really implicating that it's there, but because they want to continue, to spend the money to look for things. You got Project Blue Book and all these other things about.
Project Grudge, Sign. Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about Grudge and Signs? Or you know a little bit about them?
Basically, one happened right after the other, and Grudge was kind of a temporary thing. I don't know exactly what they were looking into. but I think it went beyond Project Sign. But then you've got Project Blue Book, which, you know, has been going on for a long time.
Hey, you know the guy, I can't remember his name, the guy that was in charge of a Project Blue Book? He was
I could look it up.
Do you remember in the Bible? And I hate to use the Bible to have a comparison, but this is the best comparison I can think of right off the top of my head. There was this gentleman named Saul that eventually turned into Paul. And became a believer.
Right.
This dude that was running around with Project Blue Book, I believe it was, and his job was to prove that these phenomena were not real. And he became converted.
Right.
Do you know the guy's name? Because I can't remember. I'm at a loss of remembering his name.
I don't. But I see where you're coming with this, with the Paul to Saul and the...
I've got something here. All right. Captain Charles Hardin. Mm-hmm. Is that him?
Maybe.
That was in... excuse me. That was in 1954. And let's see. That's the only name I'm seeing right there.
Well, you had several astronauts like Gordon Cooper. Gordon Cooper was one of the first astronauts that actually swore that he called them high-flying pods, I think he called them.
I said something.
And he said they were so high that they couldn't reach them in their jets of the 1950s and 60s. They were flying so high, but he said they could turn at 90-degree angles and all kinds of different things, you know. And then you had other astronauts that have swore that they think that these things exist. One of them went to the moon.
Gordon Cooper.
No.
Gordon?
This guy actually grew up in... near Roswell. I'll think of his name in a minute.
All right, so talking about Roswell, what year did Roswell happen?
1947 or
1947.
9.
That's right.
I think it was 7.
1947.
Yeah.
It was actually June 14th of 1947.
Yeah.
All right. In 1947, June, all right, you've got the U.S. Army Air Force, right? Mm-hmm. The Air Force was still part of the Army then. What else happened in 1947? The Air Force broke away from the Army in less than 3 months after the Roswell incident.
They were the Army Air Corps at the time. Okay.
Yeah.
So we get this 1947 at Roswell, New Mexico, and then August 1st, 1947, the Air Force all of a sudden comes out of the Army Air Corps. Is that a coincidence or a conspiracy theory?
You have to ask
maybe a little bit of both
Terry might know a little bit about that.
Which, by the way, I think we need to say hey to Terry that's up in, is it Hackleburg?
Pennsylvania?
No, it's up in northern Alabama.
Oh, is it in Alabama? Yeah,
taking care of some family matters. Sure do miss him tonight.
Yeah, but we'll have him back next week. There's been so many things that have happened. You know, if they tell you the sky's blue, you really got to go outside and look. Because if the government is involved...
Right.
You can't trust them.
Not at all.
You can't trust them.
And the one thing I was talking about a while ago, the Friedman.
Right.
Was it Stedman Friedman?
I think it's Stedman Friedman.
And
Stedham Friedman.
He was an unusual fellow. He was just an everyday guy. Yeah. But he claimed that for many years he had contact with this guy from Venus. And he was a Venusian, and his name was Valiant Thor. And he said he would be in the Pentagon and pass this dude in the hall.
Really?
He would be in a room by himself, and Valiant Thor would just appear.
I didn't remember that.
He would be riding in a taxi, and Valiant Thor would appear in the taxi.
Well, if you got different kinds of multiverses, maybe they could just pop in and out.
That's some very interesting stuff.
Well, Edgar Mitchell was the guy I was trying to think about. He was a colonel or something like that.
Edgar Mitchell.
He was an astronaut, I think, for Apollo 14, maybe. He said he talked to, as he called them, the old people, meaning the people who claimed they saw what happened in 1947 and that they also saw the little bodies
Right.
Like the funeral director, he was a friend of his, mm-hmm. supposedly, and he swore, and he believed that they had really went in there and cleaned mm-hmm. that place up and took out those little bodies.
Do you know wow. they actually had a headline? Flying saucer captured, and they're jumping or woo like that. And then the government got in there.
Yeah, No.
And they printed a balloon. It was a balloon.
Weather balloon.
Little people with big heads, and they actually explained that away.
Right.
That they were doing some sort of a high altitude test, and they were throwing these big dummies. Not the Democrats, but they were throwing these big life-size replicas of people out, and that's what the people saw. I can think of two or three I'd like to toss right now.
For real.
But that's how they explained that away. The guy that you've heard the most out of, he was just a kid, but his dad was one of the ones that found it. He was like a farmer. Mm-hmm. And they talked about he actually had pieces of the thing, and it was metal, but you could wad it up like paper and let it go, and it would take back its shape and everything. And basically, I think what they did is they scared the old man to death, or the dad. Mm-hmm. Basically, just come in there, look, you talk about this, you'll disappear. You'll be gone.
Yep. Yeah. That's
and
right.
So he didn't tell anybody for years and years and years, I think even after it got declassified.
Don't you think it's kind of odd that every president, not every president, but quite a few presidents, that after that incident, 1947, I think it started with maybe Truman or Eisenhower.
It was
Eisenhower. Yeah.
Actually, started the first one was Truman.
Yeah. Right.
And because I thought it was Eisenhower. Right. That show, what is it? Hangar One.
Yeah.
It mentions
Terry has mentioned before that George Washington was visited by aliens.
And they asked him, says, "Did you see some aliens, Mr. Washington?" "I cannot tell a lie." "No, I did not."
Well, they keep a lot of them, like Clinton said he was going to reveal it.
Yeah.
You know,
Jimmy Carter saw one, and then
Jimmy Carter saw one.
He came from one.
It looked like a peanut flying through the air.
Yeah. I could just see Bill Clinton talking to the alien. "Hey there, little buddy, how you doing?
You like my peanut?
You sure are little." I'm sorry. That's not the enemy. That's my old lady. She's scary. I know. Just all right.
It might have happened.
Stand by me.
I wouldn't doubt it. But now, Eisenhower supposedly was visited that some flying saucers actually landed somewhere. And, I mean, you can Google this. Right. It pops up all over the place. Where he actually went inside the flying saucer.
Right. Now, the thing about Eisenhower, though, Eisenhower went and won a war, and they loved him so much they made him president.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, that's like a hero president.
That's right. Know?
And so I'm sure he just walked on over and went, "What up? What's up? Run it down. What's happening?" And They've kept it secret.
Well, you know this guy from Canada, the guy that's the NATO. He was over NATO, the defense minister. He's like in his 90s. I think he just recently might have died.
Mm-hmm.
He said that they existed and they had a lot of meetings about them.
Right.
Hey, this guy had his finger on the button of the missiles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going over to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I hope that a guy that thinks that, I mean, he's got his finger on the missile button that can start a nuclear war is kind of sane.
Yeah, he's
not. I mean, like, you don't want an insane man saying, "Hey, something, something, something," like UFOs aliens.
He's not given to flights of fancy.
And he's the guy that can start a nuclear war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. I mean, like, why would somebody like that lie?
Mm-hmm.
You know, was he telling the truth? You know, it doesn't make any sense for him to be lying, really. I know it's far-fetched, but it's just like you're going to say, what? It's just like Edgar Mitchell. It's just like Gordon Cooper saying, he saw one land in a lake bed one time, and I think it was like the early 60s or late 50s, and they were taking videos of it, and he followed up with it and found out that the videos went up the ladder to some, you know, higher authority, and they asked him, they said, well, did you ask or did you check out where they went? He said, you don't do that. Not with the U.S. government.
Right.
You know,
and, you know, something else we've not mentioned, I'm sure it's in that. I've only seen one or two episodes.
Right.
But, you know, the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
That has long been rumored to be.
Supposedly there's another triangle that's over near India.
That would be the Haji Triangle.
And have you ever noticed that some of the UFOs are in a triangular form?
Yeah.
So and what does all this mean?
We were talking about this off air. The pyramids.
Yeah, the pyramids.
I just don't believe that you know, you got the pharaohs and those folks were inbred. And then you got all this, they're just running through their slave labor over there. And some of these things are cut so tight you can't get a piece of paper in between them. And they're set up somehow that they're astrologically lined up with stuff. I mean, who in Egypt at that time knew how to do that?
Yep.
Ricky knew.
And you know, have you ever seen this show with Bob Lazar? However you say his last name, L-A-Z-A-R.
I think it's Lazar.
Lazar. Okay,
I don't know that I've seen the show.
Yeah, he had special interviews. If you go on YouTube or if you go on Netflix, he's all over the place.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, he said that he's sort of like the Hangar 1, Hangar 18, whatever. He claimed that he was in there working on the, or had something to do with working on these things, and he claims that these grays.
Yeah, the
that's grays. The ones with the big heads.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. That was at Dulce, New Mexico, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
I think it's
I think
they went,
it was.
Went so far down, and then he ended up shooting one with a, or shooting a couple with a Walther PPK, and it was the grays that he was shooting, and somebody saved him and took him back up. And
I didn't hear that one, but that's I wouldn't doubt him saying it.
Yeah.
But you know,
they were working on an underground military base, in Dulce, New Mexico. Yeah,
that's
that one.
They've even got a television network, kind of, sort of, for UFOs. It's called UFO TV. I was telling you about it.
Now, where can I find that?
If you go on YouTube and just put UFO TV, it'll pop up all over the place.
Wow.
You have to actually, it's sort of like a Netflix or something if you want to get into it. I don't think it's like broadcasting, but it's like internet type thing. But it's got all the stuff. It had Stedman Friedman in there. It has the MUFON conventions and all these things in there. You know, I kind of like to get into it and keep up with it. You know, I don't trust the government.
Oh, no.
I just don't trust them. And I especially don't trust about your money when it comes to the government.
There you go.
When the government says, trust me, it'll be all right, I say, look. Let's do something. Have you heard recently what they have decided to do about Social Security? I told you folks it was coming.
Are you talking about
means testing?
Means testing.
They're already doing it now. I read it yesterday on the internet. Of course, you can read all kinds of stuff on there.
Mm-hmm.
But they're meaning now to go by how much money you make according to what you're going to get.
So it's a different UFO, like an unintended financial opportunity.
Unintended financial opportunity for the government,
Or unidentified financial oppression. One of those, yeah.
That's exactly what
aggression.
It is. And did you know they don't really want you to know the things that I could tell you could do to keep from them finding your money? It's just sort of like the little green men running around, or the gray people, or whatever are the big whites, all of them.
Bigfoot.
The Bigfoot. All of them, you know.
Daryl.
They can't find them, so to speak. But if you, and it seems like it's not illegal for them to hide from them, wouldn't you like to put your money where it's legal for you to hide it from them and they don't means test you, which means they're not going to tax you as much? Life's not fair. Did your mama tell you that?
Oh, yeah.
My mama always told me that life's not fair. Make it what you can.
Yeah, sometimes she'll call me now, say that, and hang up. I mean,
I'm telling you. So what I'm trying to tell everybody is life's not fair. the government's not fair, and if you got a fair inkling, in other words, a little bit of that intelligence that the aliens seem to have a lot of, you could try to fix it where they wouldn't means test you so bad, which means they wouldn't be taking so much of your money when you retire. Wouldn't that make a lot of sense?
It would.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's so many things we could be doing, and one of the things we should be doing is protecting ourselves. The government doesn't seem to be protecting us about a lot. They just recently admitted, or the Air Force did, that these UFOs existed.
Yeah.
Do you know how many times they told you they didn't? How many times? I mean, who knows?
Just thousands of times.
I mean, like, no, we don't have any information. No, that doesn't exist. No, that was just a balloon.
Well, you know, Operation Blue Book, there were, after a 22-year-long investigation, 12,618 sightings, they said all but 701 were explained.
Yeah.
So it goes back to swamp gas and weather balloons.
It's sort of like they explain to you why they're going to take your money away from
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, like, because of paragraph 1 under subsect B, line C, says that you should pay this. You know, okay, so it does. So what you need to do is put it where it won't say that. Put it somewhere where you don't have to worry about line C or line B, you know.
Not a parallel universe.
No.
Exactly. You don't want to get what you – I like that. What you don't want to – you want to get in parallel with the system. You don't want to crisscross because when you get into the system, they tax you. You know, if you cross over into the danger zone, what was that old television show that said, danger, danger,
Will Robinson.
Yeah. You don't want to get into the danger zone of taxation.
That's right.
Stay away from it. It's not healthy for your portfolio, you know. It's just like taking too much risk when you get older. You know, finally they're starting. Can you imagine that finally some people are starting to agree with me about the stock market? Can you believe that they're actually saying it's going to take a long time for this to recover?
It's a red-letter day for David Ernest.
How long did it take them to agree? Maybe I said it so many times they agreed with me. I don't know. But sometimes when you stump your toe, don't you know it hurts?
Yes, and the words that come out of my mouth prove it.
And somebody tell you, that don't hurt.
I just want to smack somebody when they do. That hurt?
When they say, hey, that stock market hadn't been hurt, it'll come back up instantly. It'll look like a victory, the V, you know. I'm going, no, I don't even think it's going to look like a W now. Maybe it's going to look like, they're saying, they come up with this new thing. They say it's going to look like a square root sign, where it kind of goes down, then goes up, and then goes back down, and then gradually back up. That's probably it. But I was reading an article the other day. It said, hey, if you don't want to not have to get your money within the next 10 years, stock market's fine.
Right. That's right.
10 years? Are you kidding me?
Some of us
could dig a hole in the backyard.
Some of us could be gone in 10
That's
years.
Right. Right.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break, come in and land this this ship and get out for some fuel. Now, if you'd like to call 272-9228, get in on the fun. And after we come back, this is a surprise. We have an actual person. This is no joke. We have someone who has just been diagnosed with COVID-19. They're going to talk to us on the phone here on the Health and Wealth Show. So get ready for that. And you're listening to...
Hey,
yes, what?
You're not coming in the studio.
No, I'm not bringing him in the studio. No, on the phone.
Okay.
Thanks for the lead.
First thing he asked me when he told me that.
Put the lights on.
Yeah, News Talk 93.1 WACV.
They're coming to take your portfolio. Who? I'll tell you who, you silly bird. Illegal aliens. That's right. The illegal aliens are coming to take your portfolio.
Now, sir, I must inform you that talking about illegal aliens in that tone is very un-PC.
I'm not talking about those illegal aliens, Pitzelneck. I'm talking about illegal aliens from outer space.
Oh, well, now that's different.
They're coming from Mars, Venus, Neptune, Uranus.
You said Uranus.
Shut up. And they're after your portfolio.
Well, what would they want with my portfolio?
I don't know, but I bet it has something to do with an anal probe.
Gadzooks! What can we do to stop them?
Protect your portfolio from evil anal probing aliens from outer space by calling 279-7431.
Could you give me that again, please?
279-7431. That puts you in touch with David Ernest, well-known financial guy and legendary fighter of aliens from outer space.
The anal probing kind?
Whatever they can throw at him, he can push them back and protect your portfolio.
Gosh, he sounds dreamy. I mean, he sounds like he could take care of business.
And he's been taking care of business for over 30 years. Don't let the illegal aliens from outer space get your portfolio. Call David Ernest today at 279-7431.
Say, you're not an alien, are you?
Maybe. You scream like a girl.
You scared me.
Is your money working for you? Would you like higher returns with lower risks? David Ernest of Ernest Financial Retirement Rollovers has custom-tailored strategies. With over 30 years in the industry, let him help you achieve your dreams. Ernest Financial, where they are always earnest about your money. Visit retirewithernest.com or call 279-7431. That's 279-7431. Ernest Financial.
And welcome back to the Health and Wealth Show. News Talk 93.1, our special UFO program with our friend Chris Cleghorn back with us again. Luke's over here answering the phone, and we're going to go to the phone in a minute. I was just telling you, wait. I hadn't got you turned on yet.
Turn me on.
Yeah, I'm not in that way. I was pontificating there. But I was telling you that we do have a special guest calling in.
Yeah.
And she was took a test. She was actually diagnosed with COVID-19, yes. And she and her husband are both first responders.
Okay.
I don't think he's been diagnosed or if he's been tested.
Right.
But what we're going to do is talk to her.
Okay.
And there's the button. Her name is Elizabeth, and we are going to talk with her. And I've told her, I said, if we ask you something you don't feel comfortable with, just tell us you don't feel comfortable
right,
with that.
Exactly.
And here she is on the phone. Elizabeth, are you there?
I am.
How are you?
Hey, Elizabeth.
I'm doing better. Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, so symptoms. What are the symptoms that you're having?
The first day, my main symptom was a really, a scratchy throat, a burning nose, like my nose just felt like it was on fire.
Yeah.
And fatigue. And later that day, I checked my temperature. I started getting achy, and I had a low grade temp around 100.5, 100.7.
Mm-hmm. Low grade fever. Yeah. And you got tested, and so I guess you're quarantined now. This is a self quarantine.
Yes, self quarantined at home.
Elizabeth, how long has this been since you discovered that you had this? When did the symptoms started?
The symptoms started Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I was tested Monday morning, and I got the phone call today that it was positive.
Mm-hmm. So did you think about that you needed to get this test, or was it something that was required because you didn't feel exactly normal, or did you feel some kind of impending major problem that caused you to do it?
Because of my low-grade fever, and my place of employment, it was a requirement.
I see. Mm. I see.
As we said, she and her husband both are first responders.
Right. So
they're
so
right out there in harm's way.
So you're being quarantined for what, 14 days?
Yes. After 10 days after your first test, I have to go back and 2 consecutive days and get tested again because I have to have 2 negative tests before I can return to work.
And what's the time span in between tests?
In between 10 days from the first test.
Uh-huh. Okay. So if you have a negative one in 10 days, then how long do you have to wait till you can have another test?
The next day.
Oh, the next day.
I
okay.
I can go back and be retested.
Yes. Okay.
So technically I'm getting two tests again before that one actually results.
How uncomfortable, I hate to get a little gross here, but how uncomfortable is that test to be performed on you as far as like the swab? Do they really have to go down really deep
in your nose?
They went up pretty far. To me, though, it wasn't as bad as I was expecting it to be.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Nothing worse than a flu swab.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I know that you you have two children. One of them kind of on the young side there, and mm-hmm. I know they, especially the young one, he probably does not understand why mommy is locked in the room, and well, they didn't lock you in, I know, but he probably doesn't understand why he can't see mommy.
Right. It's been weird.
So you don't feel like coughing or anything like that? Another, you don't have a cough?
No, really.
I was talking to someone the other day on the phone that was positive for COVID-19, and they were coughing a lot. They were hacking. Mm-hmm. You know, so obviously these symptoms vary from person to person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How's your appetite?
My appetite was decreased.
Really?
For the first few days, yeah. I've actually just started to get my appetite back some. I've actually lost like 5 pounds.
Wow.
So yeah. You don't advise this for weight loss, do you?
No. I just made sure I drink a lot of fluid whenever my appetite was down. Yeah.
So even if you just have like one, say you had a neighbor and you were talking to them on the phone, or they came over and you were talking through the window, and they said, well, you know, I kind of got achy joints. Would you recommend that they get tested?
If they had a low-grade fever,
uh-huh,
then I would probably recommend that they be tested.
So the fever is kind of the telling point, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I've also heard, though, that some people don't even have a fever.
Yeah. So I don't want to put you on the spot, but I want to ask you a question. If you can't answer it, just say you can't answer it. Do you feel like you know how or when or who or what?
That's what I was going to ask.
How you got it?
Yeah.
Or when you got it? Or how you could have got it?
Oh, there's been so many periods at work,
mm-hmm,
that
so you don't been, you don't really know.
Well, I don't know the exact.
Yeah,
she went to the Walmart and her old man hollered, "Bring me back a case of Corona," and she really didn't understand.
I get it.
And
wrong aisle.
Wrong aisle.
Right. Right.
But you're doing good. You're getting proper care. Did they give you any, did you get any, I'm going to try it, any hydroxychloroquine, or I missed it, I know.
Chloroquine, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
They didn't give you that? Did they give you anything?
Nope, no prescriptions. I've been treating at home,
mm-hmm,
for like body aches and fever with Tylenol,
mm-hmm,
and that's really it.
Hmm. But you're in pretty good health other than this, though, right?
Yes, I have no pre-existing conditions.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you got, hopefully you got Netflix or something in there in the bedroom with you.
Sound pretty young also.
Yeah. You got Netflix, and have you got the Disney thing? That's cool. That's
Disney
pretty good.
Plus.
Yeah.
Lots of television entertainment.
Oh, well, you're set up then. And I know you're going to get your husband I think he does anyway, wait on her hand and foot, but I'm sure he'll be taken care of her real well.
He has been. He's been great.
Okay. All right. Well, Elizabeth, we sure do appreciate you talking with us.
Absolutely.
And yes, we do.
Maybe I'll call you up in a week or two, and we'll see how things have turned out with your other test. And the reason that I talked with you earlier to get you to do this is I've heard several people say, well, I don't know anybody that's got it. I haven't heard of anybody that's got it. I don't know anybody.
Right.
And we've got somebody here that's,
few that I've heard.
Yeah.
But continued feeling well. We hope you continue feeling well. We'll all be praying for you.
Absolutely.
And you just take care of yourself. Call if we can help you with anything.
Okay, well, thank
you
all so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
All right. Well, thank you. Stay safe and stay well.
Y'all too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bye-bye. That was Elizabeth, who just got diagnosed
with I call it the Chinese virus, COVID-19, the
whatever
Wuhan, wobble wobble, whatever they're calling it now.
Yeah,
but
it changes.
There's a real live person that has it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Right. It's definitely out there. It's definitely out there. Mm-hmm. Just like UFOs are probably definitely out there. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen one myself. I got a friend that said they saw it. But I'll tell you what else is out there.
What's out there?
Unidentified financial opportunities.
Yes.
Give me a call, 279-7431. They're, you don't know about them. I see them every day.
I
know what they are, and I can keep you from being means tested, and if, which means that you get to keep a lot of your money.
There you
go. Need this information.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you cannot trust the government when they say there's no flying saucers. You cannot trust the government when they say there's not going to be, you know, COVID-19 causing dramatic problems.
Right.
But what you can do is fix it where you don't have to trust the government about your financial situation.
There you go. And let's see, what was I going to tell you? Something, I'm sure. You know, you can call David Ernest, 279-7431, and he will make sure that you know all these things. And why don't we try to end this on a high note?
And now, let's end this meeting on a high note.
Okay. I've just been waiting to use
it. We don't need an ambulance.
No. But I understand. I see the phone has
with
lit
the bell.
Up.
I thought you up the studio. Was
oh, man, he's scared to be Jesus out of me, man. I was like, is nobody there?
Yeah, it's one of them.
Oh, hang on.
They just wanted to say the kung flu joke.
Oh, the kung flu. Yeah, he was the first one. Yeah. He is the first one that said that. Now, I'm going to give credit where credit is due.
The kung flu.
Luke was the first one to say that.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That was you should have copyrighted it or something, man. You'd be rich.
They did have something they called ghost rockets.
Had what now?
Ghost rockets.
Now, this is...
they had ghost rockets in 1946 and 1947 that numerous reports of so-called ghost rockets appearing over Scandinavia and primarily Sweden, which infiltrated their brains and caused them not to lock down for COVID-19. No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, huh?
No, seriously.
Wow.
You know, one USAF, United States Air Force, top secret document stated that the Swedish Air Force intelligence informed that some of their investigators felt that these objects were not only real, but could be explained as having unearthly origins.
Wow.
Now, this was one country speaking to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they thought they were extraterrestrial in origin. Maybe that's when they got a little more sense in... You know, maybe they dropped something out there and they didn't lock down and they are still in business. Their economy didn't crash.
Mm-hmm. And two things. First, I want to mention this, that we'll talk about this in just a second. You said Montgomery had a UFO sighting
in 1948.
Hold on to that because I want to mention something.
Okay.
Because we talked about, you know, really not trying to get into the Bible part of it.
Right.
But, you know, you go back. And you look at the people they've dug up that lived way, way, way back, back in, you know, when dinosaurs ruled the earth, which is, that's a fallacy anyway, because I don't think man was here the same time the dinosaurs were.
No.
But they didn't look like us.
No.
They did not look, and well, you evolved from monkeys. I don't think, you know, if you evolve from something, don't they go away?
Right.
So the apes are still here.
The
There's always been that theory that that the UFO people came down or angels.
Right.
Well, and intermingled with the human people, and that's where the giant people came from that time.
Right.
So it's just a lot of wild stuff out there.
Yeah. There was a book that was written back in the 60s, I believe it was, because I had the book when I was a teenager, like a young teenager. It was called God Rides a Flying Saucer. And, you know, essentially they were confirming things in the Bible. They're not against the Bible. They're for the Bible. Essentially, like we were speaking a little earlier about, you know, like who was it that left the earth without dying?
Elijah.
Elijah.
Yeah.
And then the wheel.
Yeah.
Elijah. Ezekiel.
Ezekiel
saw the wheel.
Saw the wheel. You know.
And Enoch. You know, Enoch rose above. And yeah. So I mean, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All these things they confirm the Bible.
But Elijah, of course, was a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that sound like? He had some sort of a way to see into the
inside
future,
right? Information.
Yeah, so he could have been one of them. Mm-hmm. But what about the UFO sliding in Montgomery
in 1948? July 24th, 1948, uh-huh. There were two pilots flying for Eastern Airlines. It was Clarence Childs and John Whitted.
So this is a commercial flight.
It's a commercial flight going over Montgomery. They had a close encounter. I mean, a near miss is the way it was reported. With a UFO.
Wow.
They were flying Eastern Airlines. And the thing about it is, and it was believed because they were guys of really good repute. They were decorated Air Force. They had flown, you know, during the war and everything. And then they were pilots in 1948, so, for Eastern Airlines.
Oh, yeah.
Really neat story.
Absolutely. They have, you know, the classy guys. You would trust them, you trust them with your life when you fly. Yeah. Fly in the friendly skies and become unfriendly with them.
The only thing I have trouble believing that is I just can't believe something flew from Montgomery, Alabama, and it didn't get shot down.
Yeah, really.
Come on, Clem, get your rifle. There's two bow of them.
Yeah. Well, I have a friend who said he saw one fly over in Montgomery. See, somewhere around, I guess it was about 1965, 68, somewhere in there. He said it was huge, and he took off, went straight up, you know, so fast. He said he's got this childhood friend. I think he was about 13 or 14 when he saw this. Mm-hmm. He stays in contact with his childhood friend, and guess what? They still talk about it.
Mm. Wow.
It's the only one he thinks he's ever seen.
I've got a story.
What's that?
I have one. We lived in Dothan for about 4 or 5 years back in the 90s. And this couple lived next to us, and they were like our buddies, man. We lived out in this little housing area out there, and we just had a lot of fun. Well, he got laid off, so he picked up a couple of little side jobs to help him, and one of them was running a newspaper route. Well, we were moving to Texas, and he says, "I want you to come go with me on the paper route one morning. We'll have a ball. We'll, you know, throw papers a little while. We'll go get a biscuit or something. Just have a big old time."
Yeah.
So there we are, South Alabama, down there in Dothan, out in the middle of nowhere. There ain't even nobody with a banjo out there. We're so far out there. And we're riding around. We start telling scary stories. And then the thing, and then the jump, and his mouth open, and his teeth. And we were trying to scare each other.
Yeah.
We're riding along, and the whole sky lit up.
Oh, no.
Green. I mean, brilliant.
That's scary.
So much that he actually put on the brakes because we could not see. I mean, it kind of blinded us for a second.
Yeah.
And we're telling all these scary stories, and I mean, it stayed green for a few seconds, and then it faded. We went home. We went on to the house. And it come to find out it was actually a rocket that they had fired from down around Florida. You know, we're right there in Florida.
It
got way up there, and it's like, "Oh, man, this ain't going to work. We're going to have to get rid of this thing." And they couldn't shoot it down, but I'm sure they wanted to shoot it down, but they couldn't. So what they did is they just blew it up. And we were like, you know, right there witnessing it, you know. Mm-hmm. It just scared us all so bad. And we were just
that's scary.
And he had to go deliver his papers that afternoon.
But, so how old were you then?
I had to be in my 30s.
Oh, okay.
But it was just all of a sudden, everything was green. And I saw a thing the other night where everybody got these doorbells now that's got the camera.
Oh, yeah, the rings. System. The rings.
Yeah, and there was a meteor that went through the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in Arizona. Yeah. But there was one where they just had a security camera.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude is, he walks inside, and it shows a couple of hours, you know, and his car's parked there.
Yeah.
Meteor hits the car.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. And it was on one of these clip shows. And he said, "You know, he's glad he had that camera."
Oh, yeah.
Because you know State Farm wasn't going to buy that.
Oh, no.
That was that mean little neighborhood kid.
They hadn't seen enough.
Yeah, it was Ricky down the street, little devil. But if you want to jump in on this, 272-9228, we've got time for a call or two. Hey, we've got one here.
Yeah.
I wonder who this could be.
I don't know.
Is it Randall?
It's Randy from Snowden.
Oh, Randy from Snowden. Okay. I'd have talked to Randall anyway. I just figured Randall would jump in on this. Randy from Snowden, how are you, sir?
Doing fine. I wanted to apologize. They opened the farm auctions, and I've been on the road for about 7 days trying to get some equipment up now that they're letting us get out here and run the road. Still have your chow chow and your pepper sauce. I think I missed a call from you, but I didn't get it till the next day, and then I been out of town. But in saying that, I got your chow chow and y'all's pepper sauce, and I'll make sure you get it before at least by the first of the week.
I'll tell you what, if you run by here while we're on the air, we reckon you'd be down here that time.
Well, we got
Luke back, and he's young and limber.
Right.
We could run him down the steps and let you in, and you come up and say hello.
Yeah, he won't even be out of breath.
No, he'd probably jump him steps. Yeah.
Well, I'm home now till Monday. Tomorrow, y'all are down
there.
Where y'all at?
It's on Wall Street. You come down Carmichael.
And you
turn on to, is it the I-85 Parkway?
185 Interstate.
Yeah. You turn on to I-85 Parkway.
Parkway, yeah.
Wall Street's at the end of the... You can't miss it. Bunch of antennas sticking it.
Because we
track UFOs.
I ain't mad at you. And talking about that, you know what? I'm going to try to get by there tomorrow and say hello. Run down there and get this chow-chow and pepper sauce because I know you're... waiting on it because it's good.
Okay, tomorrow is when we run the rerun, so we'll be here tomorrow night.
I got another auction till Wednesday, so it looks like I may have a little time, and I'm gonna call you.
Uh-huh.
I got your number. I'm gonna call you and talk to you about something else. But on the other hand, talking about these, I'm a theorist. I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
Uh huh.
In saying that, I just got a question because you're smart guys, and I'm just an old country boy out here fooling with tractors and bush hogs and what.
Service in Mobile has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Northern Crenshaw County until 7:30 p.m. Central Daylight Time. At 6:51 p.m. Central Daylight Time, a severe thunderstorm was located 4 miles southeast of Logan or 8 miles southeast of Fort Deposit, moving east at 30 miles per hour. Hazard, 60 miles per hour wind gusts and penny-size hail. Source, radar indicated. Impact. Expect damage to roofs, siding, and trees. Locations impacted include Petrie and Highland Home. For your protection, move to an interior room on the lowest floor of a building. Repeating, a severe thunderstorm warning has been issued until 7:30 p.m. Central Daylight Time for the following county, Crenshaw, Alabama.
I don't know.
And they had cotton.
That was strong. That was him.
Of course, you know, if that had happened in the South, Moses would have floated down that river in a Coleman cooler.
Exactly. In the
Esky, you know that.
I agree, but that's just my thoughts on. I mean, where did you'd have to have a 6-inch rope to have a thousand men to lift a 3-ton rock. 400 feet to the top of that pyramid.
We'll have to talk to Terry.
It just don't make sense.
It don't make sense.
But you know what? Nothing makes sense no more, gentlemen, so we understand what's going on.
That's exactly right. And we know that this economy can't stay floating off hot air forever. Somewhere down the road, something's going to blow up.
There you go.
Hey, Randy.
Randy, y'all have a good one.
We got to run, man. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next week sometime.
I'll be in touch with you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, Randy, how about that? That's a hard-working man.
Yes, he is. And, you know, hard-working people deserve the best.
Yes, they do. And they deserve time off.
They deserve time off. They don't deserve market risk, taking away everything, taking the basis of what they put in there. They don't deserve interest rate risk. Think about interest rates going down now. I mean, do you make money in banks or anything? I mean, there's so many things going on. Currency risk, you know, inflation, commodity risk. It's just, you know, and having to hold things for 10 years risk. Who ever heard of such crazy stuff as that?
I know.
Before you can start taking income off of it. I mean, my God, we got ways to fix that. So, you know, we're going to back out of here. You know, and I'm going to let you know I will not be here next week.
Dave's not here.
But I will be calling in every day. There's going to be a good crew here. I'm going to be calling in every day, so I'm really kind of will be here.
You're going to the beach, right?
I'm going to the beach. I'm going to the beach with my wife.
I'm
getting out of this corona situation, I hope. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, you've been working hard. You've been quarantined.
We have been working very hard trying to help folks get out of this risky market, and a lot of folks have done it, and they're glad they did. And if the market goes up, we're going to make money. If it goes down, we're not going to lose any. If you're interested in that, give me a call. 279-7431. That's 279-7431, and we will take care of you.
And Chris, any final words from you? We appreciate you coming in.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You'll be here next week.
Ufologist, but I play one on the radio.
There you go. You'll be here. Will you be here Monday? I think you said y'all might not be here.
I'm probably gonna be out Monday.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'll be here Tuesday.
Okay.
Y'all kind of went silent.
Mutter among yourselves for a second.
So if you're close to retirement age, you've really got to get on the ball and give you a call, don't you?
It's important because if the experts are saying that it could take 10 years,
yeah.
And this is coming out of the mouths of people who are really, really, really smart about finances, and they're saying, hey, you're okay. If you're going to buy stock, though, make sure you can stay in it 10 years before you start liquidating it
right.
for retirement purposes or any other purpose. Well, that's kind of scary. Think about it. If you're 50 or 55 years old, 10 years puts you to 65. If you're 60, 10 years puts you to 70. You got to defend yourself. You got to get in. You got to be productive. It's got to make money, but you got to get on defense.
That's right. And I've got something for us to go out with. Oh, by the way, Luke, thank you so much, too. Always glad to have you here, sir. Man's on the job. We've been talking about UFOs and unidentified financial opportunities and everything. I thought we would go out with this evening. It's young Ray Ragsdale, or as you know him,
good evening.
Ray Stevens.
I'm Stan Blether, and this is the evening news.
He's got some words of wisdom.
It speaks for itself.
Reporter Ronaldo Riviera.
See you next time on the Health Fan Wealth Show.
Thank you for your call, Elizabeth.
Take it away, Ronaldo.
Stang. This is Ronaldo Riviera on the banks of the Stinky Muddy River with Mr. R.V. Frisbee, who claims to have witnessed something truly fantastic. Mr. Frisbee, could you tell us what you saw? You bet I can, Ronaldo. I was just hunkered down over there putting a stink wad on my trot line, and the short hairs just stood straight out on the back of my neck, and I turned around, and there it was. Big arms slang them purple lights on it. Come swooping over them pine trees there and just hoovered over the Winnebago. Inez run out, throwed a skillet at it, and then she scissored and run back in up on the hide of bed. About that time, little trap door opened up, little stair steps come down, little pink bald-headed guy stuck his head out. Now, I'd seen that movie, Close Encounters. I just walked on over there big as I can, looked up in there, and there he was.
There who was?
Well, you know.
What? No. Who